Yes, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Wow, what a great 2 hours of music there. Ellie with the second hour there. Awesome. Thanks for all that.
Thanks.
Progressive tunes and shoots. Also, you busted out some old stuff there.
I was
Beck, and what else I hear in that little zone? There was MGMT. Like, I was like having flashbacks. Yeah. So thanks for being here, and happy birthday! It's Shoot's birthday tomorrow. Woohoo! It's a family up here. Hey, Dan.
How you doing, Dub?
All right, so we're doing a talk show here for the next 2 hours on this community radio station. How about that?
It's exciting.
You feel like talking?
I do. I had a lot to
Whoa,
say.
Whoa, and there's Ken Janelli. Well, I'm just saying, it's like you walk in the door when the show starts. That's how it's got to go. First, I'd like to tell you that this program is supported in part by Kalaheo Chiropractic in Ching Yung Village.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711 or Southside Center at 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo Jeff Culverhouse for your support.
Yes, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and Out of the Box. Jimmy's not here today. He'll be here next week. And Jonathan Jay is not here. So no Jimmy, no Jonathan. This is Dove, and I'm going to be engineering this with Dan, who's been a volunteer here for a while and wanting to host a talk show. And watch what you ask for, because there you are.
Here I am in the hot seat once again.
Uh-huh. So we'll be here. We're here for the next 2 hours, and the phone lines are open for the next two hours. This is really your radio show. We design this twice a week. We have it on Tuesdays from 4 to 6 and Thursdays from 4 to 6, because we got a lot of feedback from the community that they wanted more opportunities to get on the air, the listeners to get on the air. So use the opportunity. This is the time, and we do have a first caller. Who wants to go on? So, are you ready, Dan?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Aloha, caller.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
We can. You're on the air.
Okay, hi. I'm Raymond Catania with Hawaii Fights for 15. And I just wanted to make several announcements of what's been going on and what we're going to be doing in Hawaii. We won the resolution to support the fight for $15 an hour from the large corporations here on Kauai. But it's only a resolution. It's not a law at the county council. But more than that, what I wanted to bring up was that in Washington, D.C. the other day, there was the Republican convention.
Uh-huh.
And there were thousands and thousands of workers out there, mostly from the fast food industry, a lot of blacks, Latinos, and women. And they were demanding $15 an hour, and Bernie Sanders was there speaking up for them, which is really good.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, Bernie was joining the fight, and even O'Malley, who's running for president as well, supports the fight for $15. Both of them have introduced legislation at the Capitol. And Hillary Clinton still only supports $12 an hour. But there's a reason behind that. Hillary's got her top 20 contributors are all the corporations, General Electric, Citibank, you know, Time Warner. While Bernie's contributors are unions, you know, the smaller unions, a lot of them. And 88% of Bernie's campaign funds come from donations that are less than $200, whereas Hillary's donations, less than 20%, is from less than $200. And I got that information from The Nation magazine, if anybody wants to check that out. But I wanted to let you know that the movement is growing. We haven't developed that scene yet in Hawaii where we can get out hundreds of people or even thousands. Not yet, but the word is getting slowly out. We did go door-to-door on this island. We were the only island doing this fight for 15. But I recently got some friends on Oahu that are helping me, and they're going to be getting the word out in a survey to every politician on where they stand about $15 an hour as a minimum wage and paid sick leave. So that'll be happening here in Hawaii. Every legislator, including the four from Kauai, none of whom support it, are going to be getting this survey as well. But it's developing into a pretty big issue, you know, income inequality. That's the basis of Bernie's foundation, you know, and even though he wasn't running, you know, working class people are still going to be fighting for the 15 and for economic justice. So I wanted to bring that out. If you have any questions, you can ask me.
Are there any plans to, you mentioned it's not law yet. Are there any plans to implement it or any bills going before?
That's a real, real good question, because at the county level, the way laws are introduced is by these communications at the county level. And then what happens is that if it passes the county level, then it's discussed at all the island's major counties. I mean, county, like, for example, Big Island, Maui, you know, Honolulu, they will be discussing this, you know, at their county councils, you know. But what happened is that that communication, which was the most important thing, got smashed.
And who passed the resolution?
Yeah, well, the resolution passed because the resolution is not law. You know, some of the legislators, some of our people here on Kauai who are in the council supported that, in particular, what's his name now, Raposo. But the communication to introduce it at every county level was smashed. And in Maui, it was introduced by noted environmentalist, what's her name now, Ellie Cochran, you know, who's taking strong stance against GMOs and stuff. It was introduced there at her county council, but it was smashed as well. So it having to be discussed at the county levels was erased. And when we had it here on Kauai, we had some really contentious meetings, you know, public hearings. And I believe there were like six meetings or so altogether. Now Raposo came out and he said that he not necessarily agreed with the communication for it to be discussed at the county level on paid sick leave and increasing the minimum wage, but he felt that it should be discussed, you know, because it's an important issue that working people are concerned about. But what happened, the time to vote, he voted against it.
And do you foresee this being implemented statewide or county by county?
Well, we can't do it county by county. Everything is so centralized, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so wages are set at the state level. In fact, we did have wage increases not too long ago, 7.75, which is the present increase, and then 2018 it'll go up to 10.10 an hour, which is still small. And I was part of that movement, but you know what we found out by talking to a lot of working people, they supported it, but it wasn't enough, especially with Hawaii's cost of living, right? You know, which is one of the highest in America.
What made the meeting so contentious? What's the crux of the argument against the $15?
Well, basically, they're saying that small business, they use small business, is going to go out of business, you know. And the one who really stood up for with that position was Joanne Kimura, you know, which surprised a lot of people. But she said that if we introduce $15 an hour, workers are going to be taken over by robots, you know. And the other guy was Ross Kagawa, who's kind of a conservative financial person, almost like a Tea Party type, and Errol Kaneshiro, who's with Gold Farm. Those three really fought against it. Kipukai Kuli, he finally came out with something good and broke away from the Gang of Four and introduced his $15 resolution. I worked with him on it, and, you know, and I kept on telling him, hey, Kipukai, you're not going to sell us out on this one, huh? You know, so, you're not going to sell us out, bro. You know what I mean? We got to get this thing going. So, but Kipukai has a history in labor. He used to be with the United Public Workers, you know, as a business agent. But more than that, he was an organizer for gay and lesbian rights in the AFL-CIO. That's the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organizations. And he had an office in Washington, D.C. So he has a real good history of labor rights. But when it comes to other things, that's where a lot of people disagree with him on, right? But I could count on him coming out for labor rights on this, so I worked with him on it. And we were able to pass the resolution, but getting that county communication was the hardest. So what we're going to be doing next is sending surveys to all the legislators. They don't want to deal with it. You know, they're going to say stuff, oh, we got to deal with homelessness. But homelessness and housing issues have a direct relationship to how much people are getting paid, right? You know, people's incomes, you know, how much they're earning from their jobs and whatnot. And so Dee Morikawa, who was the only legislator that showed up at the hearings, didn't come out and support us. She kind of stood in the middle. But the thing about Dee Morikawa is that she is a union member with the Hawaii Government Employees Association, and the HGEA, which I'm a part of, came out in support of 15. You know, but once these guys, they get into positions of power, they start wheeling and dealing, right, and watering down their positions. You know, so I wouldn't say that she's a strong labor advocate anymore. You know, but, you know, she did get the support of the HGA and the AFL-CIO, and that's why she's in office. The AFL-CIO, the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organizations, they came out and supported the 15, and they represent about 70 unions, yeah, and labor organizations. The ILWU, the International Longshore and Warehousemen's Union, Warehouse Union, they came out and supported it pretty strongly. And Local 5, the Hotel Workers Union, they came up pretty strongly, along with Hawaii Government Employees Association. So we got some good representation from the unions. And then we did spread the word out in several working class communities on Kauai. But there was a block against it, and the block was Ross Kagawa, Harold Kaneshiro, and Joanne Yukimura. And Ross was saying stuff like, you know, the economy is going to be in bad shape if you increase the wages, but if you take a look at this year as compared to last year, around this time of year, the tourist industry made $135 million more in profits, you know. And the shipping companies from the mainland, like Matson, are making more money than ever before. The airlines are making more money, you know, their baggage fees and all this kind of stuff. We're also saying, what about the hotels? They're going to go out of business, you know. And then Errol Kaneshiro saying, how come we're always picking on Walmart, you know. And Joanne was saying, you know, the small businesses are going to go out of business. And that's not necessarily true, because for the Chamber of Commerce, 35% of the small businesses were saying that they'll go along with it, you know, but they just have to look at it and find out the timetable on it. So what we did was that in order for it to pass at the county level, the resolution, we had to compromise. So it was like $15 an hour for the big corporations like Walmart, and the middle businesses was $12.50, and the very small businesses, like you know, those that are making bikinis, for example, and candles and cookies and stuff like that, those guys only can go up to $11 an hour. So we had that up to 2019, not 2018, and then we opened it up for the legislature to take a look at it, and they could, you know, rediscuss it. But we really watered it down, which I didn't want to do. But we did anyway, in order to get it passed. But we got the discussion of the sick leave and family leave in there.
Well, it seems reasonable. There are a certain amount of small businesses that would definitely be negatively impacted by that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So it's watering it down. Compromise isn't always bad. What's the next step?
Well, the next step, like I said, for us here on Kauai, is that we're going to try to get that survey going among the politicians. And then, you know, we're going to be doing movies and presentations and talk stories with people. This is over a period of time. We wanted to introduce it at the, you know, the state legislature this coming legislative session, 2016, but we don't know of any legislators that are willing to do it. Not one of them that we know at this time is willing to touch it.
And you believe that's because of lobbying or corporations?
Yeah, corporations, corporate influence. They're pretty conservative. You know, like, for example, take a look at the politicians here. Almost all of them went with the seed companies on 2491.
So I'm guessing the resolution passed by a pretty slim amount.
Yeah, it was a slim. It's like, we only had 7 council members, so we had 4 votes, which is the majority. But I tell you what, we had to really push like hell to get that. And we did get it. But it was really hard. It's one of the few victories working people that are poor got on the bottom. So it was a pretty significant victory, but it's not a law. But we did get the word out there. We're going to continue, you know, because we got to develop a movement in Hawaii and nationwide that can make enough noise to force these politicians to listen, because the Democratic Party is pretty conservative now. And that's why a lot of young people and a lot of working people are turning towards Bernie, because he's talking about social justice. Now, I mean, economic justice, but there's some questions that I have about Bernie as well. I don't agree with him on everything, but when it comes to economic justice, he's okay. you know. You know, I don't think he has a platform on dealing with indigenous rights, you know, with Native Hawaiians and Native American Indians. His stand on what's going on in the Middle East is, I mean, not that good. He still supports Israel at the expense of the Palestinians, who, you know, who live in very squalid conditions and have been occupied for over 50 years, you know. So Bernie is weak on some of these questions. But when it comes to economic equality, he has been really, really good. And the Republicans, you know, all of them were asked, you know, who was on the panel. The four of them there, I believe it was Bush and, what's his name now, Trump and Rubio and Cruz. They all came out and said, no, they don't believe in minimum wage. And Trump had the audacity to say that wages are too high.
Yeah, I caught that.
$7.75 is too high. People got to work hard in order to make it to the upper strata. Well, that's what people are doing now. People are working 2-3 jobs, right? In fact, when we went leafleting to people's houses, most of the people that we talked to, most of the workers, say like in Honolulu and on the west side, say like in Te Kaha and Ele, most of the people working 2 jobs, you know? And if even if they're retired, like myself, I'm retired, you know, and I get a pension, I still work too, because we just can't make it on what we got, because Social Security is not going to go up. You know, there's a freeze on it right now. And so almost everybody in my neighborhood, all my neighbors and stuff, they all work 2 jobs or more, you know. And you have a lot of homes in Puhi where you have, like, the children living with the parents because they can't go out and afford to rent their own places.
Yeah, there are a lot of multi-generational households on Kauai in my neighborhood
as
well.
That's right. There are the multi-generational households on Kauai. There's quite a few of them, you know, where you got to live with the parents. You know, like I remember when I was younger, back in the 60s, I'm 66 years old, we could go out on our own and find our own job. You know, there's a lot more jobs, and, you know, I went to college. We were able to survive on our own, you know, without staying with our parents. We wanted to get the hell at our parents' home. Those who stayed at home, we felt were kind of strange. But nowadays, a lot of the children, they're living with their parents.
So it's not a cultural issue. A lot of people are under the impression that it's cultural. And in fact, it's in reality, economic. It's due to the economic climate.
You're right. You can't separate culture from economics. You know, they're all related.
Very true.
Yeah. So thank you for giving me this time. I really appreciate it. You know, and I had called up Jonathan and both Jimmy, but they both responded and he told me they weren't coming on today, but you guys are going to be on, so I decided to call early and make sure that I get a chance.
Thanks for the update. What were the three council members? The three council members that voted against it?
Okay, Joanne Yukimura,
Ross
Kagawa, and Errol Kaneshiro. And then I wanted to make a push for Saturday's meeting on a movie showing of This Changes Everything with Naomi Klein.
All right.
The Apollo of Kauai. I hope you guys talk about that. That's going to be about climate justice, you know, over at Community College. So I hope you guys talk about that as well.
It's showing at the Performing Arts Center
at the
college?
I believe. Yeah, at the college at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be free. So
cool.
If somebody could call up from their group, Apollo Kauai, or who's ever helping to put it on, that would be really, really good.
That would be great, yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. Mahalo.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
All right, so we got some interesting topics.
Real quick, I forgot to run the disclaimer, so we'll get that out of the way.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
And then we have this little guy.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Yeah, if you have any input about what you hear throughout the week, you have any ideas for other programming or want to be a volunteer programmer here at your community radio station, call us up, 826-7774. And about that free movie, it's called This Changes Everything. It's showing this Saturday, November 14th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, November 22nd, the following weekend at 6 p.m. at the Kauai Community College Cafeteria, not the Performing Arts Center. It's at the Kauai Community College Cafeteria. It's free. It's being put on by Apollo Kauai and filmed over 211 shoot days in 9 countries and 5 continents for 4 years. This Changes Everything is an epic attempt to re-examine the vast challenge of climate change. And there you go. Yeah, this changes everything. So showing at the college.
Excellent. So we've had quite a few stories in the Garden Island paper as of late. If you folks want to call in, there have been quite a few lenient sentences given out for violent offenders. For example, a Waimea man was convicted of breaking his mother's bones and beating his girlfriend in the head. Sentenced Thursday to 6 months in jail and 5 years probation. Backpack theft leads to probation only. So I noticed a lot of comments on the Garden Island webpage. Today, a Kapa'a man sentenced in 6 cases, 5 of them felony, was only sentenced to 11 months in jail. So I'm noticing a lot of comments about how we have quite a few violent offenders, thieves. There's been a lot of theft on Kauai, especially in the Kapa'a area as of late. And these guys seem to be getting off pretty easy. Cocoa Palms was broken into again a couple weeks ago, and the state is requesting a continuance on that. So if you guys want to weigh in on those topics, some people said it was the old boy system. A lot of these guys are local and getting quite lenient sentences. I mean, to physically assault your mother and beat your girlfriend and end up with 6 months in jail, also a $92,000 fine, which probably won't ever be paid. It's pretty disturbing. In the international headlines, we have a new study that came out today by the Global Research Center suggesting that Fukushima fallout, new report, expects up to 1 million cancer deaths. Living in Hawaii, we are getting quite a few debris reports. Not that I've read too many lately. Not sure if any of the debris is radioactive, but we are in the Pacific. If you guys want to weigh in on that, feel free to give us a call, 826-7771. Today on the Washington Post, 7 things Obama's going to do in his last year of office. It's an interesting read. He's going to finally close Guantanamo Bay. That was his first promise as president, and here we are 7 years later. Personally, I think that could be done by executive order. Not sure why that hasn't gotten through yet. The next thing is to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership through Congress, a bill that is secretive, cannot be altered or changed when passed. A lot of people are concerned about that across the U.S. Also, he's going to find some kind of political agreement in Syria. There's a lot of a lot of controversy. We have people like John McCain, Ben Carson, suggesting that we shoot down Russian aircraft that are fighting Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other groups that are fighting, the Free Syrian Army. So it's quite interesting that Russia comes in. We're all about fighting the war on terror, but when we have an ally like Russia come in and help us out, Washington does not seem to like that too much, so it kind of makes you wonder. And Putin came out and said that, you know, a lot of the folks fighting are CIA trained, CIA funded. Let's see. Number 6, sign a criminal justice reform bill into law. And number 7, win a court case over his immigration action, which has recently been challenged. So he's got quite a few things on his plate for the last year. It's interesting. The first one, Guantanamo Bay, I remember when he was first in office, the first day, the press release or press conference he held where he spoke about his plans to close Guantanamo Bay, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, he could do it with the swipe of a pen with a signature through executive order, which he has not hesitated to use, and here we are 7 years later, and Guantanamo Bay is still open. Kind of makes you wonder about our relationship with Cuba. We're talking about ending the embargo and opening up diplomatic relations with Cuba. So it's interesting that we have a base in Cuba, but they're our enemy, and by our, I mean the U.S. government. And then gun controls on the agenda as well for 2016. Hillary Clinton has actually come out and proposed that Australian-style gun control should be put into action. She does not believe in the Second Amendment. A lot of people have been... She's been catching a lot of flack for that. She came out and said that the U.S. should implement a buyback program. And we have fairly strict gun control laws in Hawaii. I mean, it's pretty strenuous just to get a handgun, for example. You have to pass a background check. They check your medical records, and you also have to take a class. So it kind of makes you wonder what the logic is when there are millions of nonviolent, non-criminal gun owners in America, and for them to be punished for the actions of people who are generally on psychotropic drugs doesn't seem like much of a solution. And another interesting headline that I noticed today was first genetically modified humans could exist within the next 2 years. A biotech company, Adidas Medicine, is planning to start human trials to genetically edit genes and reverse blindness. So that was pretty fascinating.
Wow. Yeah, that was a mouthful there. That was a lot of different issues. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to chime in on any of those topics or any of your own topics, or maybe you have something you'd like to announce. 826-7771. Yeah, so, genetically modified humans.
Sounds scary.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, so much going on the planet right now.
I watched an interesting documentary about how human beings are so full of toxins that breast milk is being deemed dangerous. They've tested breast milk. It was a Netflix documentary. I forget what it was called. The consensus was breast milk is still the healthiest for the child, but we're full of flame retardant chemicals and BPAs. Males are growing breasts, and BPA, bisphenol A, is basically a estrogen mimicker, and that's in the water bottles. You'll see a lot of companies that are now advertising BPA-free products, if you guys want to weigh in on that. But I thought the most interesting was, in the last 2 weeks, was the very light sentences for violent crimes and theft. Living in a small community, living on Kauai, you tend to know who the offenders are. So when they do catch them, they are generally sentenced to very lenient sentences. I mean, five of six felony convictions amounted to 11 months in jail. So that is pretty astounding. So if you guys want to weigh in on that, it's 826-7771. Also in the news today, the Republicans are pushing to get Romney back in the race. He has refused or denied having any interest in running again, but big donors are lining up to line his pockets for the campaign. I guess there's a big push to get Mitt Romney back on the ticket, or on the ticket for 2016. So, quite interesting. I don't know. I can't imagine. We already have a Bush running against a Clinton, which is bad enough. But can't imagine Mitt Romney throwing his hat in the ring again. And as you guys know, Donald Trump has been stirring up more controversy. So that debate was interesting. If you guys have any comments about the debate, feel free to give us a call.
Number here, 826-7771. This is your radio program right here. You, the listener, this is when we open up the phone lines for anything you'd like to get off your chest or say or talk about. We are here to facilitate that. So we got a bunch of people online looking here all over the planet. So we even have a toll-free number, 866-275-1112. If you want to call us from afar, toll-free right here to KKCR Studio. Yeah.
And there's also a big, across the country, universities have been having big protests claiming that the First Amendment is creating unsafe zones at school. This happened in Mizzou. There's also a protest going on at Yale as well, targeting the First Amendment, saying that free speech is damaging and creates an unsafe atmosphere for students. They actually have a free speech zone at certain schools. Pretty insane, if you ask me. Looks like we have a caller. Mizzou student VP, First Amendment creates hostile and unsafe learning environment is the headline, coming off of Mediaite.com. Also in the headlines, Trump likens Carson's early pathological behavior to child molesters. So Trump just does not stop with his interesting comments.
And we do have a caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha. Good program. The thing about the sentencing, I don't know about it here in Kauai, but I recently read, and I think I heard on some... not KCCR, but some radio program at 2 o'clock in the morning, that the jury system in the United States, okay, this guy was calling from Ohio, and he is part of a group of lawyers that want to nationally correct a lot of deficiencies with jury selection, as pertaining to the good old boy system. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that affects Kauai or what, but I was really surprised to hear that. And the numbers of the percentage of screw-ups, or whatever you want to call it, or cases that have been brought to question because of leniency, the selection of the jury apparently played a lot into it. So I don't know what that means about Hawaii, but certainly leniency with felonies and certain other crimes has increased across the country, and it seems that that needs an investigation, and these guys are going to do it. And I don't know if it's some kind of a newly founded organization of not necessarily lawyers, but that particular guy was a lawyer and he was talking with other lawyers. So,
well, the cases here, I believe it was Judge Randall Valenciano. He was, he ruled in two of the cases. I believe there's been about five where I noticed in the comment section, a lot of people just commenting about the good old boy system. I mean, these folks that are in question have quite a criminal history. So it
well,
is.
Well, it could not be the judge too much, as it could be who is selected if a jury is selected. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure how many of these cases were jury trials, though.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to listen to the radio. Good program. Keep it up.
Thank you for calling in. So, yeah, the racial discrimination protests ignite at colleges across the U.S. This is out of the New York Times. Hundreds of students demonstrated at Ithaca College in upstate New York on Wednesday, demanding the resignation of college president Tom Rockin for what they said was his lackluster response to complaints of racial insensitivity on campus, including an episode in which two white alumni on a panel called a black alumni a savage. After she said that, she had a savage hunger to succeed. So this is going on all across the country, with many people calling for free speech zones. Basically, language is under attack, it seems, on campus. You know, a lot of comedians are shying away from folks like Jerry Seinfeld, and other comedians have commented that before, colleges were great to play for, you know, comedy shows, and because of the PC culture, the overly politically correct folks at the colleges, a lot of comedians are actually shying away from college gigs lately. So it's kind of a scary precedent to set. The First Amendment protects all speech, especially offensive speech. The First Amendment is not there to protect unoffensive speech. It's there for the precise reason to protect dissenting opinions, unpopular opinions. And so it's interesting that even comedians who tend to be left-wing or liberal are shying away because people are just too sensitive these days. Hawaii, I haven't really noticed that too much. A lot of folks are pretty liberal here in the sense that they're classical liberals, believe in free speech. So quite an interesting week in the news. If you guys want to weigh in on that, feel free to give us a call. And there's a couple other interesting headlines. Claim 1 in 5 New York City adults have mental issues. Something that's not addressed in this country enough seems to be the mental health issues. I believe it was Reagan who shut down a lot of the institutions. And seems like when there's a psychopath on a rampage, whether they use a gun or a knife, it's the object that is blamed. We get calls for more stringent gun laws, etc., etc. But a lot of the things, well, it's not addressed. Mental health issues need to be addressed more in this country. So one out of five in New York. I thought it'd be higher, but that's a pretty shocking headline. Also, the stocks are back to red for the year. The Dow is down 250 points. Bad time to be investing in the stock market. So if you guys want to weigh in, feel free to give us a call. This is your radio show.
Yes, it is. So much going on the planet. So, it's wild times here as we moving into the last couple months of the year and then into an election year in 2016. So a lot going on there in the politics. 826-7771, if there's anything you'd like to talk about on the global level or the local level, it's a great time to call. We're also still taking donations from our fund drive. We actually just got a $100 donation just came in, and we had an angel pledge yesterday. So we're still working towards our goal of $60,000. We're getting up towards around $52,000. So we're getting close. So thank you for keeping the phones ringing. It's amazing how many people didn't even know we were doing our fund drive a couple weeks ago and just found out that we're still trying to raise funds to stay on the air here. So you can always call us and make a donation, or you can donate online on our website, kkcr.org, and just click on the donate button. And you can get the same premiums by donating online. If you'd like to one of our new KKCR t-shirts or goodies that we give away, you can do that all right online from our website. So thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. We are totally listener-supported community radio, so... Dan, so lots going on. 826-7771 is the phone lines. I just found this interesting. Want me to play a song here real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I found this interesting rare track, Bob Dylan, here. We're going to go to a song real quick, and we'll be right back with Out of the Box.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. brake too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in your doorway, don't block up the hall, for he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. 'Cause the battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times, they are a-changing. Come, mothers and fathers, throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old roads are rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. It is cast. The slowest now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, Bob Dylan, 1963, super rare demo recording of that. It's a good song, always a good song.
Great song.
Stands up forever. So here we are, out of the box. We got Dan and Dove in the hot seats, holding it down here. Another hour and 15 minutes. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and get anything off your chest, start a topic, or maybe you just have an announcement or something, a community event you'd like to tell the world about, 826-7771. We've got a bunch of people listening online from all over Japan and other islands of Hawaii, California, all over the mainland, even France listening. So, yeah. All right. We have a caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Hello. Are you there? Hi. Can you hear us? I guess you're breaking up a little bit there.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Oh, breaking up.
Oh, okay. How about now?
No, there you are. All right.
Okay. I don't want to go on air, but I just was wondering, do you guys know anything about the fiat money and all the money that's getting injected into the system that's making, you know, wages lower and devaluating the dollar? And, you know, that's like, seems like really super important, but I don't know very much about it. Do you guys?
Well, the Federal Reserve is just printing notes every day, injecting them into the economy to keep the economy propped up. We live in a false economy with Cook numbers. The unemployment rate is actually quite a bit higher than it's reported. Once a person is out of the workforce for a certain amount of time, they're no longer considered unemployed. But, yeah, the Federal Reserve is a hot topic. People like Rand Paul have submitted legislation to audit the Fed. A lot of people argue that the Federal Reserve should be eliminated. The Federal Reserve is not federal at all. It's a private banking institution. And the reason they're putting so many dollars into the economy is, well, the interest rate's at zero. Lately, they've even pushed the idea of negative interest rates.
Right, which is absolutely insane.
It's insanity. So it's just a real strange time we live in. If we were to go back to the gold standard or the silver standard, any type of real money, this fiat currency is bringing us and this country to its knees. So specific.
And gold now. Gold, the place is manipulated just like oil. It's no longer supply and demand. It's just created by Wall Street guys.
Yeah, and we have a lot of big countries buying up vast amounts of gold.
And they're selling dollars, and the Chinese are stuck. Thank God they're stuck. We owe them billions and trillions of dollars, or our economy would already have taken a dump because of, you know, the derivatives and all that. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to – you just made me feel better talking about it. I don't hear enough because it's so scary, and it's close, you know, to the dollar being not worth anything. You don't even want to own – you want to own property instead of dollars, right?
Yeah, you want to own something that's valuable. Paper is not valuable.
Right.
What year was the gold standard gotten rid of? Was it under Reagan? I don't recall.
I think it was Reagan. Was it? Yeah, which is weird because he didn't seem like the type of person that would go so far off of what's been working, supposedly working, forever. But democracies only last 200 years, and after that it's supposed to be a capitalist thing. We're not in a democracy right now at all.
Do you feel we're in a majority of Do you feel we're in a capitalist society, or do you believe
Absolutely. But I don't understand it that well. But, yeah, that's what I think, because in the beginning it was it was like a few people, you know, voting and taking – I mean, it was everybody voting and taking care of things. Now we've learned how to vote, so the only people we get to vote for are idiots that are all connected.
Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunate.
It's insanity. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'd invest in gold. I'd invest in real, solid, valuable items,
yeah,
property,
like real estate. Hopefully, because that's all I got.
Yeah,
now.
Properties. You know, that's up and down as well. It seems like every market is manipulated. It seems like there's some globalist master plan.
You're right. Look
place.
At gold. I bought gold at 1600. Now it's 11, and they told me it's going to go to.
They say it's going to go up to as much as like 2 or 3.
Yeah, well, it's going to do that when they want it to, and they sell. You know, they sell, and we're left holding the bag again because of all the inside information, you know? Let's send Martha Stewart to jail.
Yeah, you know, it's almost as if they propped up gold, manipulated the market in order for it to drop so people would actually drop that valuable asset
they
and sell
did.
It.
They did. They did. I know they did because I could feel it. I could see the difference in the people that were selling me the gold.
Uh-huh.
They would be like going, okay, now you want collector's items? They go, no, I want bullion. I just want coins, gold coins that are legal coins because you don't have to pay tax on that, you know, and oh, God, I'm scared. I'm scared, but luckily I'm old.
Oh, you know, it's interesting when they got these cash for gold places everywhere. You just got kind of laugh when you drive by them. They'll take your broken gold, it says, or broken jewelry.
Right.
I'd advise you to hold on to your gold, and not that
Absolutely.
I'm an expert, but hold on to gold, hold on to silver.
Don't save dollar bills. No. I have a little bit in my checking account, and then the rest is like just like I said. I own my property, so hopefully that would sell for yen or whatever at the time, whatever happens. I guess.
Oh, that's a scary thought, selling for yen.
Yeah.
But
we're getting pretty weird. They're really tired of the dollar as the standard.
Well, it's almost
everybody countries.
It seems like they're purposely doing it to. Some say implement a global currency. We've seen the euro crash.
Right.
The euro was set up to fail. The dollar was
right.
set up to fail. So Reagan, the alleged conservative, it's kind of surprising that he – people prop him up as a conservative, but he was actually fairly liberal if you put his policy
yeah,
under a microscope.
Yeah, it seemed like it, except for some other stuff he did too with the freaking air traffic controllers, and there were some real weird things that he interfered with that had nothing to do with the president.
I mean,
or politics.
If you look back at the Great Depression, and like wheelbarrows of cash were worthless. People were trying
right.
to get, you know, bread and potatoes with wheelbarrows
right.
of cash. So, folks that don't realize that, there's a great video online by this guy named Mark Dice. Multiple videos where he goes around and offers a $1,500 gold bullion for $25. Nobody takes him up on the offer. Another video, he offers another $1,500 at the time. That was what the ounce was worth.
Right.
Either that or a chocolate bar. And 10 out of the 10 right. people took the Hershey's chocolate bar because they said, what are we going to do with gold?
God.
So
we are messed up, man. We're in big trouble. And then with all the global warming and all the rest of it, we're in super trouble. Like I said, I'm 63, but I got kids, and, you know, I'm so freaked out. I don't want to fucking, excuse me. You know, there's plenty of guys with rifles. That's all we should remember. Thomas Jefferson said very often, you need to go in there and change the government, and if it's by force, then you take it over because people get too comfortable. We're not in a democracy anymore. This is not a democracy. It's like a hypocrisy.
It's true.
But what's your name?
My name's Dan O'Flaherty.
Dano? Good.
Yes, sir.
My name's Joe. Thanks for listening, and I like your show.
Hey, I got a question for you. Do you keep your gold in the bank, or you don't have to answer it, but do you tend to?
I have it in a safe deposit box.
Okay.
At the bank, and I worry about that. In fact, I've gotten scared a couple times and ran in there and took everything out. At one point, I had $500,000 in cash, and I was going to buy a house, and I went in there to get my money, and they said, what was your money doing in here? You're not allowed. I go, it's legal to keep money in my safe deposit box. But, you know, it was really weird when we started counting it out because I needed a cashier's check to buy the property. They put it through this machine that was kicking out fraudulent dollars, fraudulent hundreds and all that. And I thought, oh, my God, what if I have a whole bunch of counterfeit money? And that was my nest egg, everything I owned.
Well, the thing
is out there wasn't any. But
the banks federally insure you up to $100,000, I believe. So
yeah, but I had $550,000. That was my nest egg. I had it in five accounts before, and
so the only fear I'd have or hesitation of keeping, you know, gold if you have it in the bank is them issuing you, you know, if they declare some kind of federal emergency, where you know, under the National Defense Authorization Act, government takes over all infrastructure, banks, highways, this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
So they could issue you $100,000 of Federal Reserve notes and keep the gold. So that would be, I'd bury it. But I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I swear. I don't have that much. I think I had 20 grand or something, 30 grand. It's not a big deal, but you might need it. Well, thanks for talking to me, and you guys put on a great show.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
I'd forget where I buried it. That'd be my problem. But anyway.
Hey, they say PVC is really good. 4-inch PVC, and you glue the cap on the other one, and nothing gets in there.
Yeah. Interesting. Does it keep out all moisture?
Yeah, and 4 or 5, and then you throw, you know, a little paper or something in there in case there is any moisture. But it doesn't hurt the gold, the moisture. You know, you can't hurt gold or silver.
No, you can just devalue it like they seem to be doing. So.
Yeah, well, they're surely doing that.
But you're ahead of the game by having a solid, valuable commodity.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you for calling.
I'll call.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. Bye.
The phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you'd like to talk about anything, get anything off your chest, maybe you just have an announcement you'd like to... there are a lot of people listening, actually, online and... I'm sure driving around and in the traffic, so it's a great opportunity to get your word out about something. And we have a caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I got reminded about the KA plan today.
Uh-huh.
And there's another meeting this next Tuesday, I think, at the Conaway School.
Okay.
And
you need to turn your radio just down a little bit.
Okay. It seems... that I understand that, you know, that the parking's a big problem and the bathrooms probably, but it seems really wrong that we won't be able to have free access to the trail and the beach. So
So when's the meeting again? Tuesday, you said?
I that's what I heard. I didn't get it. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's Tuesday night at the Hanalei School.
Okay.
And it seems like there's got to be some part of this that's some sort of shuttle bus system or something to... so that people can get out there without so many cars.
And what are they proposing?
They're proposing the state is going to turn it over to a private enterprise, I believe. They're putting it out to bid. They're going to build a visitor center, and then they're going to gate it off, and you'll only be able to go there with permits that you pay for and a certain number a day.
You know, I remember they proposed that for Kokei years back.
Yep.
I'm not sure how that was overturned.
That definitely got stopped. But this looks like it's rolling along. I don't know what it has to go through to get through, but there's a lot of parts that that could be improved.
Was there a lot of public dissent against this, or was there any opportunity for the public to give their opinion?
They've had another meeting there, and I don't know what if they've really taken the public input.
Mm-hmm.
They say they do, but anyway, I just wanted to alert people that it's not over yet, and there's something that we could try to fight for there.
And is there some kind of Facebook page or?
I don't know.
Okay.
More about it.
All right. Well, thank you for that info. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Yeah, well, you know, just trying to figure out what to do with so many visitors coming in. You know, I saw it years ago, you know, with all the movies and coming out, and I knew Kauai was just going to blow. You saw it all coming, you know, from all the promotions of it through media, you know, just this island was just at, just on the face on the, on everywhere years ago. It's over for Kauai as far as on the map. It is on the map for the planet.
Indeed.
So now what? You know? Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it? Just to kind of clarify what the last caller was talking about, next Tuesday there is a meeting at Hanalei School, and it's not about KA. It's about the expansion of Black Hawk Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's completely different, and it's good that everybody gets there. And
what are they trying to do to Black Pot?
They're expanding it. You know, they took a family's land that they had for 160 years, and it's eminent domain on them.
Oh.
And so they're expanding it to 8 acres, and they want the input of the community to see. You know, like, you know, kind of really important things, like, are they going to shut the beach down, and are we going to make a giant $8 million parking lot, or, you know, stuff like that. So the people need to be there and get involved, and the people of the North Shore and the whole island, you know, and the county wants the input from the community. So Hanalei at 6 o'clock on Tuesday.
All right.
Good meeting. And, yeah, the KA thing's a whole other thing. We've actually started a petition against the KA thing, so we've got that kind of stuck in the gears right now because the community does not really want we want something to happen to KA, but the plan that they're proposing is pretty negative to the actual community members. And I know they're trying to control the tourists. There's too many tourists, but I've always believed they got to control the tourists at the airport, not at our parks. When they try to control them at the parks, they end up controlling us,
right?
The local people. So, you know, the visitors, the visitor guys and the mayor guys, they need to control it at the airports, not at our parks. And, you know, don't throw us a number, because the number was 900. After 900, you can't go to KA. That means, you know, you cannot go there ever in the afternoon in the summertime.
Yeah.
Which would be unfair. But anyway, I was calling to say I'd like to see everybody come to this meeting on Tuesday at Hanalei Cafeteria. And let's try to shape our own park at Black Pot.
What time is the meeting?
6 o'clock. 6 p.m.
All right. Thank you so much for the right information. We appreciate it. And
aloha.
It gets it out there to everybody. Thank you. Aloha. That's what this show's for. So if you have correct information about anything that's going on in the community, meetings, different showings of movies or events, this is a great opportunity to get out there. 826-7771 is the number. And I'd like to tell you, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and this KKCR program is supported in part by Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and Out of the Box. That's what you're listening to right here. This is your radio program. Call us up, 826-7771, if there's something you'd like to say on the air. Or if you don't want to be on the air, that's okay, too. I can take your call, and you can just ask, put something out there. So right on, Dan. We'll do the legal ID here real quick, the extra one for Oahu.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The Haleiwa in there. So, and we have some people listening online. I see on the from the North Shore of Oahu. Welcome. And this is Community Radio.
Hawaii's been in the news lately. Saw it on multiple websites, such as ABC News, talking about the homeless epidemic in Hawaii.
State of emergency, I was hearing, about the homeless.
Yeah, it's population. It's risen in recent years. It's 487 homeless per 100,000 people, the nation's highest rate per capita. So that was news. New York falls behind, followed by Nevada. Since 2010, the rise has come even as the national rate has fallen during the economic recovery. So leads one to wonder what's fueling the homeless problem here in the islands. As Mr. Catania pointed out earlier, economic policies. Looks like we have a caller, or not.
Yes, we do.
Perfect.
Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Daniel, great show.
Hey, Stan, how you doing?
So, Daniel, tell us what is going on with the dairy, the proposed dairy, and is it true that the county council has actually approved of this?
You know, I'm not sure if the county council has approved of it. I know they're moving along with plans semi-covertly. I believe I read that on one of these local blogs. But that has not been in the news lately. I know there's a lot of controversy about the land in question, the runoff, the nearby resorts. So I'm not sure where that stands, but from what I heard, they began to work, they began some sort of work in preparation for the development or for the proposed, pasture.
Wouldn't it seem that the lawyers for the Hyatt would be able to keep this thing in court forever, tied up in litigation?
Yeah, I'm sure the lawyers, lobbyists for the resorts in the nearby area certainly could. But from what I've heard, they're using some pretty heavy-handed tactics on the other end. Big money's involved with this proposed dairy farm. So it seems like it's big money against big money. So they can play by the same rules as high-profile companies or corporations such as the Hyatt. But you would think that places like the Hyatt, surrounding vacation rentals, that there'd be a little bit more of an uproar. You live in that area down in Poipu?
Yeah, Kalua, right near the sugar mill. And I'm probably not in the direct line of the trade winds, but I sympathize. In my opinion, the church, the Kauai Christian Fellowship, they're directly in line with the stench. And so is the remainder of Poipu, including the Poipu Kai Resort, tennis, etc. So I have a hard time understanding how this is going to go through with all the negativity and the negative effect it's going to have on the reef at Mahalapu, etc. I'm amazed that it's gotten as far as it has.
Yeah, it is surprising. they've certainly used some heavy-handed tactics. Didn't get the public's input, or they did but did not care. It seems like they're pretty dead set on moving forward with the plan. Also, I wanted to get your input on what do you think's going on in the sky lately? You notice that?
Actually, I just got back in town, and when I arrived, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. And a few days ago, I noticed a little bit of aerosol spraying by some type of jet aircraft just a couple of days. Actually, yesterday.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Starting about 3 days ago, just heard the jets overhead at night, and the next day, boom, it was just covered in white haziness.
Wow. Well, Daniel, listen, I really appreciate your show, and if anybody can give us some input onto what's going on with the, you know, with the litigation against the dairy mill, and of course, if anybody can give us some insight as to why are they spraying that junk in our atmosphere.
You know, they took a break for a while.
I noticed that. And Daniel, I got to tell you something. When I was in Fort Worth recently, I was very close to Carswell Air Force Base. I mean, they had painted stripes. It was sickening. I mean, literally, the sky was painted like it was like a painting of stripes. It was amazing. It was literally right next to Carswell Air Force Base.
Like a tic-tac-toe type grid, or just
exactly the whole sky. And of course, everybody in Fort Worth, they're totally oblivious to it because that's what's been going on for a very long time.
You know, I watch movies and I look at advertisements, and it seems like they're putting them into the media in the backgrounds. It's kind of normalized now. Even NASA's come out with a new chart naming new clouds that are supposedly the result of aluminum, barium, strontium, and other aerosols. So it's interesting that even NASA's involved. The satellite system, NOAA, is actually run by, I believe it's DARPA, or one of the defense companies. So a lot of people look at the satellite, and it's pretty clear, but if you look up, it's quite hazy, so it's alleged that they're manipulating the satellite feed as well. So it's definitely quite a controversial topic. It's surprising that more folks aren't aware of it. I mean, it is right above your head. A lot of people tend to kind of wake up when they see films like, what in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? And if you look at old photographs, maybe even your own photographs from 10, 12 years ago, you'll notice it in the background, too. So it has been going on for some time. The question is why. There are multiple reasons, weather control, warfare, aspects for warfare, creating an artificial sky for enemy satellites not to be able to see what's going on the ground. I mean, it just goes on and on. Supposedly, they started doing it in Vietnam to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and that's been somewhat admitted. And if you want solid proof, look up an Air Force document that was declassified or leaked called Owning the Weather as a Force Multiplier by 2025, where they basically admit and outline that they are spraying. These big corporations do have patents on the mixture, so that's not in question. It's just a matter of what's in question is a matter of why. So, and I'm sure there's multiple reasons to that. To the deniers, it's just, you know, it's hard to convince them because, you know, they argue the contrail argument, and it's pretty easy to point it out. You know, one's got a starting point and a stopping point, and the other one stays there for 4 hours, so it's hard to believe ice crystals would do that. It's quite a hot topic. I know a lot of folks in Hawaii seem to be more aware than other places because it's a small community. So how did you get turned on to the issue? Was it Paul or a friend of yours? The internet?
I think it was your father.
Oh, really? Yeah, he started picking up on that as well. But it's just hard to accept, you know. It's interesting when you're sitting at in a public place and you're watching the sky and you're watching them lay them out, and then you look around and everybody's oblivious to it. It feels like it's like the Twilight Zone.
Well, Daniel, it's a great show. Keep these topics on the air, especially the dairy mill.
We'll do. We'll look into it.
Excuse me, the dairy farm. And hey, it was great talking. I love your show.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's hard to believe that they're still moving forward with the dairy. I was at some of the county council, or actually before the elections, and it was a topic. It kept coming up and started getting information about it, and it's just mind-blowing that they're even thinking about doing that there. Especially the numbers are so much higher than the dairy that was in Moloa'a, you know, back in the day, and seemed like there'd be so much impact on that area over there.
I remember
on the south side.
Driving through that area as a kid, and you get within a mile or two of that place, and you could smell it.
That's true. And the ratio of the cows to amount of land was super small there compared to what they want to do in Poipu. Like, it's crazy that they were actually, if it passes, the runoff and stuff, it seems like would just be insane. So
from what I've heard, they've already begun to put in irrigation systems and sprinklers.
Wow.
Things ahead of time that haven't been approved, but that's just Coconut Wireless.
Yeah.
Could be completely false, but
wow,
that's what I've heard through
The
Coconut Wireless. Great song, by the way.
Yeah. So the phone lines are open, 826-7771. A quick little musical interlude. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just listening to your last caller, and in reference to the chemtrail issue, I've been living on and off this island for 44 years, and I've watched the clouds a lot, and I was out at Makua Tunnels about 5 days ago, and I saw it was like the biggest, widest looking, I've seen a lot of chemtrails, but this one was wider than and stationary than I've stayed there longer than I've ever seen it. Meanwhile, all the other clouds were kind of puffing on by, but this thing, I kept looking at it and I go, what is that? It's like I've never seen a cloud like that here.
It is interesting to watch them drift past, and that one stayed stationary.
This one wasn't drifting. And it was really, really strange, I mean, in regards to the other clouds. So it was just, I remember thinking, this is really different. And I know what chemtrails look like, because back on the mainland, I've seen the whole thing, like your friend was just saying on the last call, the crisscrosses. And, people that are in denial about this, I suppose, are the same people that are in denial about climate change and
A lot of people argue that the chemtrailing is causing climate change.
I saw about 2 weeks ago on Facebook, and it was an actual little news clip of John F. Kennedy speaking, and it just said about, yes, we're going to be controlling the climate.
Wow.
It was actually words coming out of his mouth. It was just a clip. I wish I could have seen it, but it was, people that we're collecting information on the chemtrail issue. But, you know, it's like I said, I've been living on and off this island for 44 years. You know, I lived at Taylor Camp, and you know, I'm back here now. But I, in the last 3 or 4 days, I've run into several people that told me how they've just recently had these awful infections. In fact, one gal I saw yesterday, I just about died when I saw how she was like bones, skin and bones, and she'd been in the hospital for 4 months because she had some kind of a septic. And two other people that same day, you know, somebody that's been here for many, many years and swims in the ocean, she had two terrible infections this summer. And another gal that lives here, and I'm going, what is going on here? You know, why are all these people suddenly getting all these infections from being in the water? From our climate is changing and our environment, it's become really toxic. You know, beautiful Kauai. And I used to walk down the beach and collect just cupfuls of little shells, and I don't see one anymore.
So when did you initially notice them, and what caused you to notice the difference between them and normal contrail?
In the contrail thing?
Yeah. What was your kind of like, what was your wake up call? When was it?
Through the years, you know, uh-huh. Through the years, I've seen some strange clouds in the sky, even when I've been at Moloa'a on the beach, you know, and I've seen some strange, like little sections of clouds. They weren't chemtrails, they were like parts of chemtrails. But this one that I saw about 5 days ago from the beach, it was just a really wide, and it looked like some kind of a chemtrail, but unlike one I'd ever seen before.
It's interesting, on days where they layer the sky and it's completely hazy and it's nothing but haze, sundogs used to be rare where there's a rainbow around the sun.
Right.
But it's there the whole time.
Yeah, no, this was a long, really long, wide, kind of feathery inside of it, but it had straight, you know, definition to it. Meanwhile, all the little puffy, it was a sunny, beautiful day with just your normal little puffy trade clouds going by. But this thing, I kept thinking, it's not moving. I kept looking at it and going, I've never seen a cloud like this here.
Did it dissipate or spread out eventually?
No, it never dissipated. The whole time I was there for a couple of hours, and the thing wasn't moving like the little puffy clouds were moving. It was like, it was going, and I remember referencing, like, let's see, that's, you know, east, this is west, and I was kind of watching the parameters of how it was, and it was kind of north, it was kind of a north and south line.
Well, fortunately, it seems like a lot more people are kind of being turned on to the issue or more open-minded about it.
Yeah, and like you say, NASA just had a page, but there's so many deniers. I have a friend that's a pilot for American Airlines. And he goes, no, and I've sent him pictures of the planes. I have friends here on the island that read, you know, you can read on Facebook all the alternative news, where they've actually had planes where they've taken pictures inside with all the spraying equipment. I mean, you can go online and look up YouTube and look up HAARP, you know, H-A-A-R-P and all that, and you find all kinds of articles on it, even on the History Channel.
Yeah, they did do an interesting one-hour special about the HAARP facility
right.
in
and
Alaska.
So there is, and today I just saw one on Facebook. My friend Seish, you know, he's really up on this and very intelligent person and can explain the aluminum and all the chemicals that are in these chemtrails and then these microwave towers, you know, how they affect the chemicals.
Yeah, they're actually able to steer them from what I've heard.
And they actually heat up whatever the chemicals are, aluminum, barium, whatever the stuff that's in these chemtrails, and somehow around these microwave towers, and there's several of them. I guess there's one over by the coffee plantation on this island, you know, over on the dry side. And there's maps that show when they go over these microwave areas, it actually heats up whatever it is in these chemtrails, and it makes rain.
Yeah, or it stops the rain. It seems like they spray ahead of storm fronts coming in, so we have these warnings where it's going to rain for a week and a half, and you'll get a couple days of overcast skies, and that's about
it. Yeah. I wish I could explain it a little bit more intellectually, but when he explained it to me and showed it to me, it sure made a lot of sense and showed areas of Kauai that were dry, and now they're not as dry anymore, particularly over by where they're raising all the GMO stuff on on the south side.
Yeah, I mean, with the drought-resistant seeds they're experimenting with, it seems like the GMOs and the geoengineering go hand in hand.
It's real, and again, I was very taken aback just in the last few days of these friends of mine. I was gone for a little bit, and I came back, that told me, I said, how was your summer? And they said, I had these really bad infections. I mean, these are people who have been around here a long time. And I'm just, and the one gal yesterday just spent 4 months in the hospital flatlining twice because she got septic. And I'm just going, oh, my God, what's going on around here? And people say, don't even swim in Honolulu Bay anymore. And I go, are they trying to keep this under wraps because of tourism where they don't want people to be afraid?
You know, we had a caller a couple weeks ago mention something about that. Would you be able to give us some insight, something about Hanalei being unsafe to swim, the reef?
I don't know. Somebody probably is a little bit more, like I said, I've been gone for a few months, but that's why I was so shocked coming back and having in one day three different people tell me about the terrible infections they've had this summer. And these are people that have been here a long time, so it's not like they're not acclimatized to this environment.
From what the caller said, he mentioned the visitor that drowned, apparently touched the reef, and the EMT said something to the effect of it looked like he was electrocuted. It's all hearsay. But that was something I heard a couple weeks back on the show. Somebody called in about the North Shore, about the reef, about PMRF.
I don't know. All I know is we are becoming so much more toxic. The reefs are because there's no more shells, and I'm just talking about a very, very generalized observation because, like I said, I've been around here on and off for 44 years, and there's hardly any more shells now when you walk along the beaches, and, you know, the people that are now coming down with these toxic infections, and then over on the South Shore, which I don't go to much, but you know, what's happening over there with all the GMO issues and now this possible dairy. I mean, that would just be the straw that broke the camel's back for more pollution and toxicity to this beautiful island. You know, people need to get the politicians and the people that are in power. I don't know who's buying these people off, but they sure don't care about their children and their grandchildren, and they're sure not caring about what's happening to this island.
Yeah, it seems like it's a little petri dish here.
That's exactly the word that the gal used yesterday when I looked at her, and I was shocked. I went, oh, my God, what happened to you? And she said, I just spent 4 months in the She's a gal that works here, does landscaping, and she got some kind of a septus. She looked like she was, you know, skin and bones. And again, I just came an hour before that. I was visiting with another friend that said about what a bad infection she'd had. And then earlier that day, somebody else. And I was just shocked. I'm shocked at what's going on. And people need to get shocked and realize that this island has become more toxic than it was. And it's because of whatever these chemtrails are, whatever our government is doing and allowing, it's you know, no different than the pharmaceutical companies that are trying to not allow marijuana to use as a healing tool when it has been a healing tool and it can be a healing tool. And, you know, the wrong powers, the powers are in the wrong hands because there's a lot of good things out there that are being overshadowed by greed. Whether it's Monsanto, Syngenta, whether it's the Navy doing all these experiments with chemtrails, you know, the pollution of our reefs. And if somebody allows a dairy, like your caller, I hadn't even heard of that one. But the last thing this island needs is more pollution and toxicity.
That's true. A lot of folks are, not a lot, but I've read comments and heard folks comment about how it could affect the tourism industry as more people catch on.
Oh, and I'm sure that's why it's not out in the mainstream, that people don't want to keep the tourists away. You know, they don't want to hear that Hanalei Bay. I won't swim in Hanalei Bay. There's no freaking way I would ever go in there now. And I'm worried for the people that do. You get a cut, and, you know, it's huge. What about people with, you know, immune systems that aren't good? I just, it'd be very interesting for somebody to take a survey from the doctors and the hospitals that have treated people with these, that have gotten these infections, and the rate of how it's been stepped up in comparison to how it was maybe 20 years ago or so. But there's some bad stuff.
I wanted to interview some of the nurses at the Wilcox recently. I'm just curious, you know, I know people that work there in different aspects. I wonder if they're allowed to just talk about that.
Well, you know, I did see one on, it was on Facebook, and it was, you know, one where the Hawaiian people are trying to fight against, you know, the GMO and Monsanto, and it's a real, real issue. And now Monsanto's getting sued in Europe. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been coming out of the news. And, you know, when I started, finally, I don't watch television. But I started reading alternative news that comes up on Facebook. And it's incredible, the news that doesn't get out in the mainstream, that, oh my God, you know, and I'm, maybe some of it's not completely true, but a lot of it is based on science. And a lot of it's based on scientific journals and real, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
And so, again, and I remember seeing that there was a nurse talking about these people and the illnesses over on the south side, the amount of cancer now that's showing up, you know, the amount of children that are being affected, you know, affected by the different chemicals that are being there. I mean, it's a real, real issue, and you know, that should just be one nail in the coffin for any kind of dairy they want to put in over there. The last thing this island needs is more toxic,
yeah,
you know, anything.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for your call.
You bet. And again, I'm not an alarmist or anything, but I'm reading stuff, but this is from my own observations, like I say, from being here over, you know, for 44 years on and off and watching this stuff happen. It's happening. So we all need to do what we can, and I know we have been. The marches against Monsanto and us trying to get the good people in the government, you know, we need to continue that. And more than anything, they need to continue it for their children and for their grandchildren here.
It's scary times when the news is so alarming that you're deemed an alarmist for simply pointing
and
out.
And I was driving, and all of a sudden I heard your caller, the last call, and I go, I gotta stop too, because you know, I've watched it myself. I'm 66 years old, and I came here when I was like 21, and I've seen the changes myself. And people should be, I don't want to say frightened, but people need to be very, very aware and step up to the plate and ask questions.
Well, yep. Thank you very much for calling.
And good for you for bringing it out there. Good for you. This is a great program. Thank you so much for giving us information.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Aloha.
The latest on the, I did a news search, the latest article with any reference to the Mahalapu proposed dairy farm is September 18th, 2015. Opponents of dairy on Kauai deliver petition to governor. The group is suing Hawaii dairy farms over alleged violations of the Federal Clean Water Act. Opponents of a proposed dairy in Mahalapu on Kauai are calling on Governor David Ige to take notice of community concerns surrounding the proposed Hawaii Dairy Farms operation. The Garden Island reports that Friends of Mahalapu, the Bridget Hammerquist and other activists hand-delivered a petition with more than 3,300 signatures to the governor on Friday. Hammerquist says the nonprofit concerns about the proposed dairy's impact on the island and environment. Friends of Mahalapu is suing Hawaii dairy farms over alleged violations of the Federal Clean Water Act, claiming the construction of the dairy will likely expose the area to pollutants. And the governor so far has not responded to the petition. So interesting, only 3,300 signatures. You'd think there might be a little more.
Yeah, you would think. Going back, I would love to know what the statistics are at, like, Wilcox Hospital. you know, with the ups and downs of what kind of ailments they see, you know, regularly, day in and day out. I mean, they must do just some sort of statistics on that. Is there a lot more, you know, people getting sick on the west side? Is there a lot more? I mean, I wonder, I saw the ahi have been running. People have been getting these huge ahi, and the stores have been filled with beautiful fish. And, you know, you look at it and you look at these big fish and you realize how much of the ocean they transverse. And, I mean, do they have radioactiveness to them? I mean, are people testing the ahi that are coming in, that have possibly been through Japan or in these waters? You know, what is going on the planet on those kind of levels? I sometimes wonder. Positive note, with all the insanity of the world going on, there still is fun to be had, and I got to run this real quick. Charlie Musselwhite's come into town, so you can still go dance and be in the moment, even though we're all getting fried.
Long Hair Productions presents Grammy Award winner Charlie Musselwhite and his band, Friday, November 27th at the Kauai Beach Resort's Jasmine Ballroom. Ticket information at 337-9234 or longhairproductions.com.
Yeah, that's Charlie Musselwhite coming to town on the 27th. That's a Friday night. Big weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. Lots of entertainment and things to do, so might as well have some fun, right? Like that Dave Matthews song, When the World's... Whatever. All right, there's a lot of songs about that. When the world is running down... That's not Dave Matthews. When the world's running down, take the best of what's around. Or that's... I don't know. I'll find it here. Maybe I'll play it here. We got lots of music here to play, so yeah, you still gotta keep smiling even though it's a wild world.
Yeah, you know, so news is scary, but don't let it affect your life. Still live your life, love your life,
and be, you know, an activist. I mean, that's why I just played Revolution, because you know, activism is still so important. If not now, it's more important now than it ever has been. Educating people to what's going on and raising our voices about things that we want to change, because we actually can change things, and we're seeing people change things, and that's pretty exciting when the numbers of people, like you said, though, petition for the dairy, only 3,000 signatures, but I didn't see anybody, no one asked me for a signature for that, so they never got to. You know, I remember back in Oregon, I lived in Oregon a long time ago, and when people wanted something on the ballot, every grocery store, you'd see them out there, you know, with their table getting signatures to get it on the ballot. And that's how things change. I mean, right now in Oregon, you know, 21 and over, you can go and buy cannabis in stores. It's legal, 21 and over. And the only reason that happened is because there are a lot of people that believe that cannabis should be legal for adults, and they got it on the ballot, and they got people to vote and registered voters, and they changed it by working the system, you know. So it does happen.
I noticed that mom and pop stores, local stores, they did have the petition down at Kukuiula stores, Sulioka stores, but at the big corporate, well, big companies, mm-hmm. I didn't notice them there. So it makes you wonder.
Makes you wonder if you're allowed to petition in front of some of the big stores here.
Yeah,
I wonder.
They had it sitting right by the register at the 2-3, I think it was even Big Save as well, just right there.
Yeah.
Just don't sign twice.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Got another caller.
We do. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm just stepping into this conversation late, but I heard the last caller, and I just heard a portion of her conversation as I was getting out of work. And I just wanted to share with everyone, just to empower everyone, that... we are approaching the time of superbugs, and there's a lot of, you know, microbiotic things that can get us. And I just wanted to remind everyone to consider colloidal silver, echinacea golden seal, and activated charcoal. So when you run into these infections, superbugs, MRSA, staph, all of these things, go to your health food store, because what I have found is that these helpful products are actually better than the antibiotics that we get from the doctor. So run to your health food store if you're having some problems, and get yourself some echinacea golden seal, colloidal silver, or activated charcoal, or use them in conjunction with each other, and you'll have a lot of power to recover from some of these really severe infections that are out there. Also, I just wanted to mention, I've been wanting to just send a little shout out to my community. I had a conversation with someone that I cannot mention their name, but I did hear some positive information about the dairy and its possibility that it actually may not be happening. And so I can't provide a lot of information because the conversation that I had was in confidence, but it was with a person on island who is in great connection with the people with the big money pushing the dairy project. And I was told that they are considering not doing the dairy. They're actually considering another dairy project. But the good news is that I can't confirm it with fact, but what I have heard is that they're considering not going forward with the dairy. So just a little positive note. So
yeah, interesting.
Share that. Yeah, just wanted to share that with KKCR listeners.
Cool.
Yeah, keep on praying, everyone, and keep up all the good work.
Great. Thank you so much for your call. Much appreciated.
Yeah, mahalo nui. Have a great evening.
You too.
You know, I use colloidal silver whenever I feel a little ill. That in conjunction with a little nascent iodine. It's good for you.
Powerful medicines out there, for sure, and there's so much information online. I have found time and time again that whenever I'm struggling with something or my pets are struggling with something, and I run to the vet or, you know, run to a doctor and get an antibiotic, what I'm actually finding is that the what I find in health food stores are actually more effective than the antibiotics that, that I've also been given. So just something to keep in mind. There's a lot of powerful information online for various types of problems, whether it's cancer or whether it's, you know, MRSA staph infection or whatever it is. You know, reach out to your global community and find out how people are solving these problems, because there's a lot of medicines, mostly plant medicines, that are right there at our fingertips, that are less expensive, fewer side effects, and much more effective and more empowering to us. So just wanted to share that with everyone and just remind everyone that there's a lot of powerful medicine right here on Kauai in our health food stores.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And on the ground too, you know, the Lapa'au, Lapa'au, and we got a lot of wisdom here, so we'll all work together.
Sure.
Okay. Mahalo nui.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yes, have a great night. Aloha.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to KKCR.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Yes, and we're really asking for feedback from you, the community, and our listening, especially if you're a member of KKCR, even more so, because you're a part of this radio station. And thanks again for all the donations we got this last month. Got us up. We're creeping up close to 52,000, which keeps us on the air for another 6 months, and we won't have to do the pledge drive thing until next spring. So all winter long, all the way through the holidays into the new year, you'll be able to get KKCR uninterrupted programming. And maybe you have an idea for a program that you'd like to do on this show that's not being represented so far. We'd love to get some different kind of programming, but we just need the volunteers and the people who want to do those kind of shows. So if there's something you want to hear, maybe you're the person to do it. And you can always call us, 826-7774, the office. Leave a message or get one of the staff members here and say you want to be a volunteer, and you can do it. It's that easy to get involved in your community radio station. Aloha, caller. Oh. No, that's not a caller. That's a dial tone. But all right. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you'd like to say anything, get it on the air. We got about 19 minutes left, and then I'll be playing some music for you on my Evolve show.
Noticed a few new faces around here, like new volunteers.
Yeah, it's true. We got a little surgence of some new energy. It's beautiful, and some new programming going to be starting up, some 10 o'clock shows, some new ones. Won't break the ice. I'll let them do that for you, but break the news. But, yeah, some new things happening and always changing, always evolving. Let's see if this is – aloha, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Are you there? Hello? Can you hear us? Nope. Not working. Oh, wrong one. There we go. Aloha, caller. Oh, I've only been doing this for 15 years. And I can't put, I'm still pushing the wrong buttons. Okay, you're on the air. Right on.
Thanks. Hey, aloha. Thanks. Hey, I just was wondering, you know, we've got all these young people coming out of high school, and instead of joining the military and going off to foreign countries and killing people, why don't we have like a nice, good Earth First kind of movement going here where they take all their passion and aggression and directed towards the big corporations that are poisoning our Aina.
Yeah, right. Instead of shipping them off to fight, have them fight the good fight, grow food. And yeah, right?
Yeah.
The front lines, the real front lines.
I see these posts on Facebook about these fields of GMO burning all over the world, but I don't see it happening here in Hawaii. And you know, maybe that's the kind of action that's needed to give these people the message that they need to hear, that where that kind of business isn't welcome here.
Whoa.
Except by a few people, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
So I was wondering if you guys know, is there any like Earth First chapter on Kauai or Hawaii or?
I've never heard of Earth First here or Greenpeace or any of those, you know. I'll see someone wearing a, the guys that fight against the whaling, a Sea Shepherd. I see people wearing the shirts, but I've never heard of Sea Shepherd in Hawaii or any of those activist groups like that. But, yeah, you know, there's all different methods to making change, that's for sure. But I love the idea of having the kids, our young adults, you know, working the front line. I think there are starting to be a younger, you know, what's the incentive for young people though to grow food and do things at, you know, what's the, hard to get people, hard to raise. I was talking to someone the other day about how do we get new farmers? You know, because we need farmers. If we're going to grow all this food here, who's actually going to do it?
Right, especially, you know, with the collapsing or the coming collapse of the dollar, we're going to need to be growing our own food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to be growing their own gardens, their own food in their yards.
But getting 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds into it, or even younger, younger actually is easier to get young kids involved, but once they're in college stage, they're hard to get them to be convinced that growing, being out in the garden, you know, permaculturing every day is the answer. That's what I've seen, at least. They all want to go off, or a lot of them want to go off and experience the cities and, you know, experience the culture of that. And some come back and then realize that that was where they want to be, and some don't. So, you know, and some want to go off and fight in wars, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I want to put a shout out to all our teachers on the island, especially in the public school systems, to really like start doing some real education of for our children, so that they know what's going on. Like, educating them about GMOs, educating them about the perils of warfare and the idiocracy of the corporatocracy that controls our lives. You know, how they see their parents just working, 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 working for money, 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 that's not even backed by anything except our belief in it. So I really want to put a shout out to the teachers to please, you know, educate the children about the truth, you know, educate the children about the issues. It's important to get out in the garden and grow food and stay away from the military. Right. There's other options.
I have a feeling you have a young kid.
Yes, I do.
All right. Just guessing from the way you're the passion behind your voice. So.
Yeah, I've also worked in the schools, in the school system. And so I could see how frustrating it was for teachers to be locked into these intense curriculums where they had to be force-feeding the kids all of this information. That was on some level important, but kind of having to skip out on the really important stuff, which is like understanding nature and connecting to nature and growing food and creating peace and harmony and love in the community, you know, and just basic values that the old Hawaiians, you know, when they, in their classroom was the outdoors, you know, their classroom was life skills. So I want to put a shout out to the teachers to really, you know, go against the Board of Education's requirements and curriculum and do something radical, be revolutionary.
Yeah, it seems like they're stuck with the federal mandates for what's to be taught in school with the, you know, Common Core and all these things coming down the pike that they're, you know, started with No Child Left Behind and then Common Core, and it seems like we're getting farther and farther away from truly teaching the kids what's really important. They're more interested in being, you know, teaching them how to be politically correct instead of more aware of our surroundings and how the world really works.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Common Core on Kauai? Do you know if that's been implemented in our
school? Not sure, but the state of Hawaii Department of Education has enough of their own crazy curriculum requirements that I know that most of the teachers are really stressed just trying to fulfill, you know, all of the requirements. There's not much time to even deviate from, you know, the subjects that they're required to teach. So, I'd like to hear some teachers call in and talk about it.
That'd be great. I used to live with a teacher, a roommate of mine, and she was very overwhelmed, to say the least, by what was required of her.
Yeah.
And the amount of pay, you know, the amount of compensation wasn't. Yet she ended up leaving the island for another higher-paying job in another state with less stress.
Yes, and the statistics are pretty staggering. I can't quote any exact statistics, but I've read articles and on just how many teachers that we recruit from other states to come here, and then they leave it within a few years. They're gone. They're just so stressed out.
Yeah, it's a culture shock and a few other things, according to my experience from what I've heard.
Well, thank you guys so much, and
keep on
going.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, aloha.
Have a beautiful evening. All right. Phones been ringing. Good conversation. This is your community radio station. We are listening to Out of the Box. The phone lines are still open. Got another 5 minutes here. 826-7771. If there's anything you'd like to say, get off your chest. Thanks for being here, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. We had a last-minute cancellation. Somebody was busy, so glad to help out and fill in.
Yeah, and you were a perfect example of a volunteer who came in here, volunteered, put in some time helping out. You said you wanted to be involved in public affairs programming here, and then the next thing you know, you're hosting one of the shows. You've actually got quite a few under your belt. And
Yeah, good fun.
Community Radio, aloha. You are on the air, caller.
Hey, great. Good show. You guys have a really great positive vibe tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So I wanted to just throw something in there about the last caller had mentioned about having an Earth First type of group here on Kauai. And he mentioned, I think he talked about burning the fields and equated that with Earth First. And I feel like compelled to correct that to some degree. Earth First was really primarily not a destructive group, and they got pinned with that reputation early on when there was a little bit of tree spiking that went on, and I think that was done. I'm not sure Earth First supported that, but that was done by some of the environmentalists early on. Then they didn't realize that in the process of some of the tree falling, that really injured some tree fallers very badly by when they would their chainsaw would hit a spike. And so that type of thing was really a lot of voices against that going on. Earth First really more was people that, and I'm using this that people can apply this to Hawaii or you know, maybe he used the example of the GMO fields, it was really more like civil disobedience and like locking down on the roads or locking down to certain types of areas that impeded the access of the workers, and would stop trying to, you know, put a cog in the wheel or whatever, they throw something that would stop the wheel from turning, so to speak. And you know, that, well, I think one other thing that they did do, I think there was some, like, you know, they would early on, there was some you know, they would put I don't know, dirt in the gas tank or something like that, or the big bulldozers or the feller bunchers or things like that. So I just wanted to, you know, I think Kauai is a pretty loving, forgiving, respectful community, and I don't advocate for destruction, but I do think that there are ways in which people could put their bodies on the line and do civil disobedience, or get out in front of the machine. And I think that that may be possible, and that's an application that may work here.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard, I don't know if it was Greenpeace, it was some environmental, or more than one environmental organization that was actually put on the terrorist watch list by the U.S. government.
Yeah, that was the was it PETA? People for Ethical Treatment Animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were put on the terrorist watch list for a while. You know, it was really, there's a lot of history of that type of I don't know what you want to say, the misappropriation of power, where, you know, you have you know, white supremacists doing a lot of things, getting away with that in this country and in the Western world, and most specifically in the United States, and yet they're not put on a terrorist watch list. But, you know, the organizations that, you know, that like PETA, that, you know, they would release animals, they'd go into farms and release animals. So, you know, to some degree, if they're breaking the law, they're not harming the animals, you know, so things like that. And I know that there was, I forget which organization, it may have been PETA or another organization, burned down a car lot, or torched a couple of cars in a new car lot at some point. I don't remember the exact cause for that. But, you know, the more evolved, and going back to Earth First, the more evolved kind of real activists, more on the front lines activists, they do things like, you know, camp out in trees, so the trees can't be cut down, the Julia Butterfly type model, although she didn't originate it, so, you know, that type of thing. And so I think there's probably, people have some fear, a justifiable fear, for going in and camping out in the GMO fields for all the poisons that are sprayed there. I think, the, you know, looking at the issue creatively is something that might be helpful to, you know, at one, be respectful of property, and at the same time use historic methods to cause some change in the situation, and also not to do something like burning down the fields, which might come back to get bad PR for the activists. And I think that's always something that is an issue that people don't think about a lot of times at the forefront, and yet can be a detriment to the movement.
Absolutely, they're blinded at times by their passion, and sometimes do things that end up biting themselves or the movement in the butt, or giving it a bad name. So
yeah, that's where you don't really want to have a lot of discussion, a lot of deep discussion about those types of things. And but, you know, there is a history of this in the Western world. Goes way back, but it's certainly in we've experienced it in the last 50 years in this country. And, you know, I appreciate that what he's saying. And I think besides lawsuits and, you know, marches, there are other actions. I'm not advocating for or against them, but I'm saying if people are interested, there are other options.
The biggest piece of that whole puzzle that always was frustrating for me was it wasn't so much the actions that took place and the reasoning and how they went about it, but then how the press reported it. And so, you know, when an action would happen in saving the redwoods, last of the redwoods or the last of the old growth trees, for say, you know, with a lot of, because I lived in the Northwest during a lot of that, what actually happened, but what the public heard was completely different. And the way the press relayed, I mean, that sort of happened when the Super Ferry came, you know, the press, when we went home and watched the evening news after being down there and watching them turn away the Super Ferry. The way the press reported it was so completely different. You know, they said radical protesters banging on cars and, you know, and so it was completely off, so misreported. And so that's what worries me with when people start talking about doing actions against GMO companies and stuff. I think it could backfire because the press gets involved and then no one actually hears the real story.
Yeah, so. the Coast Guard pointing automatic weapons at the anti-Super Ferry folks, that totally wasn't radical at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know what, in these days, hopefully with, you know, everybody out there with a cell phone, they can capture that,
different.
So it can go viral pretty fast. So,
right.
So there are options for that, but I don't think that the paradigm has changed that much, that the news media doesn't want to couch something in a sensationalist way.
Right.
And generally, it's not sensationalist against the powers that be. It's sensationalist against the fringe hippie alternative, what have you,
right.
Kooks, the kooks and freaks that are doing their thing.
Yeah.
And so, but I think it calls for the need to have well-reasoned meetings in which people can really discuss these things and how, you know, how to deal with the press, how to be conscious of those things, and you know, fly on a few different levels.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just the last thing I'll throw out is you know, you mentioned the Northwest, and they, you know, back in Redwood Summer, which went on in the, I think it was probably the, I don't know, early 90s or something, in Redwood Country and in Northern California, and then you had things where the organizers, Daryl Turney and Judy Berry, were bombed in their car, and then they were blamed on as being the bombers, and then they sued the FBI. They ultimately won. So there's a long history at COINTELPRO. Things can look it up. People can look it up. But anyway, thank you so much for being an open forum for this type of discussion.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call.
It's important, and great hosting.
Great. Mahalo.
Aloha.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
All right, yeah, well, actually, there you go. 2 hours of community affairs programming here. We do this every Tuesday from 4 to 6 and every Thursday from 4 to 6 with a variety of hosts. Felicia does the Tuesdays from 4 to 6 and has lots of guests that come in. And then the Thursdays from 4 to 6 goes back and forth. Next week will be Jimmy. Jimmy T should be here, and then Jonathan also helps out with the Thursdays. And we have Dan now on board. Thanks, Dan, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Also, you're born and raised on the island, so you can come with a certain interesting perspective, too, which is cool. I mean, everyone who's born and raised here, I guess, has all different perspectives, but it is cool to have someone in here who actually grew up on the island his whole life, and it's great having you on board. So
yeah, thank you guys, and if anybody feels compelled to come on up and volunteer like I did, I highly encourage it. It's a great time.
Right on. Thanks for all the calls, and thanks for tuning in to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and here's the County Council Report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report. There will be a council committee meeting and a special council meeting this week. The meetings will be on Thursday in the council chambers in Lihue. The committee meeting will be at 8:45 a.m. and the special council meeting at 1:30 p.m. Your highlights and the agendas. For the committee meeting, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Council Chair Raposo for the county engineer to provide a briefing regarding the Complete Streets project. The Economic Development and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has a request from the Director of Economic Development for agenda time to present the Tourism Strategic Plan update for Kauai. The Budget and Finance Committee has two bills on their agenda. Bill 2599 is to amend the budget for a 10% county match in the amount of $71,909 for the Kauai Fire Department Aerial Apparatus Vehicle 10% county match. Public hearing was held on this on November 4th. The second bill is $2,600 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to the beneficial tax rate for property used for long-term affordable rentals. Public hearing was also held on this on November 4th. The Committee of the Whole has a request from the Mayor transmitting for Council consideration for inclusion in the 2016 County of Kauai Legislative Package, a bill for an act authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds and making an appropriation in the amount of $7,150,000 for the following: Adolescent Treatment and Healing Center, construction and site improvements, $5 million. The Centralized Auto Maintenance Facility, planning, permitting, and design, $550,000. The Kauai Fire Department helicopter hangar for construction, $500,000. The Salt Pond Master Plan, $400,000. And the Veterans Cemetery Facility constructions and improvements, $700,000. The purpose of the special council meeting is to hold a non-public executive session to meet with a county attorney pertaining to the hiring of a county auditor and to consult with the county's legal counsel. This executive session pertains to the hiring of a county auditor where consideration of matters affecting privacy will be involved as they relate to this agenda item. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Till next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
The council is meeting on Thursday of this week because Wednesday is Veterans Day, and I want to thank my fellow veterans for their fine service to our country and for keeping us all safe.